This room, I think people who run this centre have ongoing problems with the heating system, and it's been a problem down the back. The heating was obviously on through the afternoon on a day like this with the sun shining. So the fan is on. We've had a couple of fans trying to draw a bit of cool air in. But if down the back and it's a little bit of creaking and so on, if it bothers you at all, just switch it off and hopefully we'll be fine and get through. We've got a couple of windows open for the time being. But just do what works best in the meantime. So we take up the worship of God again this evening as we gather together, and we start by singing together in Psalm 81. Psalm 81 on page 109. We sing from the beginning, and we'll sing through to the verse marked 9. Psalm 81, verses 1 to 9, on page 109. Six stanzas. Sing for joy to God our Saviour. Shout aloud to Jacob's Lord. Start the music, strike the timbrel, play on strings a pleasing chord. Sound the trumpet at the new moon, and at the full moon as well, at the feast by God appointed and decreed for Israel. God ordained this law for Joseph when he ravaged Egypt's land. There we listened to a language which we did not understand. He said, I removed their burdens and their aching hands set free. I delivered you from trouble when you called for help to me. But there it goes on, and the psalm continues with God giving a message to his people that though I have done these great and gracious things, be warned, listen, take good heed, and follow me. Psalm 81 then, we'll sing to God's praise, we'll stand to sing verses 1 to 9, and we'll stay standing after that to pray together.
Sing for joy to God our Saviour, shout aloud to Jacob's Lord. Start the music, strike the timbrel, play on strings a pleasing chord. Sound the trumpet at the new moon, and at the full moon as well, at the feast by God appointed and decreed for Israel. God ordained his law for Joseph when he
yeah.
And as it was then, O Lord our God, so today we do return our joy and our praise and our thanksgiving that there is a way open for prayer to the eternal God, the one who has chosen also to be the Savior of men. And we would lift up your name, O Lord, and draw together around that same word that you have spoken to men through the centuries, that you have made yourself known as the one who would draw near and the one who calls your people to draw near. We thank you, Lord, that you do call a people to yourself, and that call is an effective call. It is one, that word that created, brought all things into being, that word that saves so richly and so effectively, so fully. We thank you for that as you have spoken to us. We pray once more that you would speak to us today. We ask, Lord, that we might be ready under the working of your Spirit to hear what you would say to us. We thank you, Lord, that you have so richly blessed men that we can hear your voice. We often seek after many other things, but may we ourselves tremble when we remember that great word that you have spoken to us. We thank you too because you are the God who does speak, that there is no other God to compare with you. Though there are many that have been made even in the image of man, yet this is so much less than you are, less even than ourselves. There are perhaps those that have mouths, but they certainly cannot speak. There is no breath in them, no understanding. We pray, O Lord our God, that we will be those who awake to this and turn repeatedly, day by day, turn to yourself and leave other ways behind. We confess, O Lord, that there are times when there are things that you say that are hard to understand, but help us to have a firm hold on those things that are clear, and that message above all, of your hope towards us, living hope in the living Lord Jesus, raised from the dead, to which he went, that we might be delivered, indeed saved from our sins. Help us, O Lord, to walk in the light of this, in the ways that you have set before us. We pray that this will be an encouragement, this time will be an encouragement towards that as we are gathered together. We pray that you would be with us in the different paths of our lives as we go on from here. We would commend to you too again those who cannot be here for various reasons. We pray that you would uphold them, and especially where it is because of some weakness, that you might restore strength and help. We pray for the preparations for the week in our hearts, in our minds, and that we might set out seeking in all things to do your will. We acknowledge you, O Lord, as the one who is worthy of all service, worthy of far more than we can offer of ourselves. And so we pray that you might receive us and work in us, that we might truly be indwelt by your Son and your Spirit, that we will go on in him in the days of our lives. Also in what we do this evening, pray that you would receive us, pardoning sin, keeping us from it, helping us through any distraction, that we might eagerly thirst for your word to us. And we pray these things through that word who became flesh and lived among us, and made yourself known to us as the great God of love and of faithfulness, our Lord Jesus Christ. To receive us, we pray, looking on us in his righteousness, and to your glory. Amen. Let us open our Bibles together, and we will take the two Gospel readings this evening. We have been pursuing a course of consecutive or continuous readings. The last readings we did were in the Epistle of Paul to the Romans, But we return now to Matthew's Gospel. We had been reading here, but we paused for a little, and we take it up now again at Matthew chapter 14. So Matthew chapter 14, reading the first part, as it's marked there, the first two parts, two sections, down to verse 21. And after that, we'll be reading in Luke chapter 7. Matthew 14, from the beginning. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard the report about Jesus and said to his servants, "This is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead, and therefore these powers are at work in him." For Herod had laid hold of John and bound him and put him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because John had said to him, "It is not lawful for you to have her." And although he wanted to put him to death, he feared the multitude, because they counted him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was celebrated, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. Therefore he promised with an oath to give her whatever she might ask. So she, having been prompted by her mother, said, "Give me John the Baptist's head here on a platter." And the king was sorry. Nevertheless, because of the oaths and because of those who sat with him, he commanded it to be given to her. So he sent and had John beheaded in prison. And his head was brought on a platter and given to the girl, and she brought it to her mother. Then his disciples came and took away the body and buried it, and went and told Jesus. When Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them, and healed their sick. When it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food." But Jesus said to them, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. He said, "Bring them here to me." Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Reading just so far there in the Gospel according to Matthew. And then if you would turn with me as well to the Gospel according to Luke, turning to chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, and we start our reading at verse 18. Luke 7 at verse 18. Then the disciples of John reported to him concerning all these things, and John, calling 2 of his disciples to him, sent them to Jesus, saying, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" When the men had come to him, they said, "John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, 'Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?'" And that very hour he cured many of infirmities, afflictions, and evil spirits, and to many blind he gave sight. Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and tell John the things you have seen and heard, that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me." When the messengers of John had departed, he began to speak to the multitudes concerning John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who are gorgeously apparelled and live in luxury are in kings' courts. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. For I say to you, among those born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist, but he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. And when all the people heard him, even the tax collectors justified God, having been baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the will of God for themselves, not having been baptized by him. And the Lord said, To what then shall I liken the men of this generation, and what are they like? They are like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another, saying, We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We mourned to you, and you did not weep. For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say, He has a demon. The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, Look, a glutton and a winebibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is justified by all her children. And we read just so far this evening in this part of God's Word, seeking His blessing as we do so. Let us turn again to sing to God's praise, and we turn to Psalm 102. Page 133. The psalm begins with words of prayer and of great difficulty in experience, but now we come down to a testimony from verse 12. We sing from verse 12, Psalm 102. But you, O Lord, are set forever on your throne. Through each succeeding age endures your great renown. You will arise in mighty power. On Zion mercy you will shower. And we'll sing through to the verse marked 20. So it's five of these stanzas as it's set here. Psalm 102, 12 to 20. Let's stand again to sing together.
Of the
Let us again turn to God in prayer. Let us pray. And we would pray, O Lord, because you are indeed the one who is glorious to reign, full of grace, and we have such need, you yourself have taught us to come to your throne when we have need that we might find grace, and that we are assured of that grace through your Son, that by coming in him, you will give us grace upon grace. We would seek this for ourselves. We acknowledge our need of it. Help us more and more to acknowledge that need, that we will remain humble before you and receive that repeated promise that you will give grace to the humble. Help us, O Lord, not to look to ourselves, but to you for our guide, for our light, for our strength, for our wisdom, for all our ways, that we would rejoice that we are to be found through faith in Christ Jesus, with our lives hidden with you in him. We pray that each one of us may know that there will be that rich blessing upon our fellowship here. We thank you that you have drawn us together from very different parts, and we pray that as we go to the parts where you have placed us in these days, that we will take with us your call upon our lives and the sure and certain promises of your word. We pray for this as we set out into the new week. We would remember our young people as they go back into term, a number of them doing exams. We pray that you would uphold them, and they themselves would look to you and be responsive too, as you would lead them into due diligence and attention to their work. Pray that they might know a rest in you for the demands upon them. For others at other stages, we ask that you would strengthen them for tomorrow or perhaps in a few days if appropriate. We pray that they might be refreshed from a break and able to take up the work that remains through this year. We ask, Lord, that you will help each one who goes out into the workplace and grant your guiding through the demands of the day. We ask that you would be, as we reflected also this morning, that your spirit would be a guard upon our lips in every place where you have directed us. We pray for others outside of our own number and ask that you would especially work that gospel work through those who are for whom we have a care in ministry. Again, remembering Colin McLeod in Afghanistan just now with the forces. We pray for students from the college in Edinburgh going out in these weeks to take up short-term work in various churches around the congregations around the church. Pray that they will know real value from that experience and your spirit guiding them as they may face difficulties and as they would seek to proclaim your word. We thank you for those groups that have been a special interest to us, and we would commend them to you. For CWI, we pray especially for those involved in the Scottish tour at the moment and the meetings that are still ahead of them through to the middle of this week. We would remember Pomoja and think especially of Sheena and her health needs. We think of London City Mission and pray as we were joined, linked with them through John Nichols. We'd remember also Ian MacDonald as he serves there. A number of others who are working there. We pray, O Lord, that you would uphold them and guide them in that great work that is is done, but still with such a great city and harvest field, as it were, lying before them in the city of London. We do pray for John Nicholls as he has retired from them and goes in due course, moves north and takes up some work with the Smithton Free Church congregation. Pray that that will be of real value. And we thank you for the gifts that you've given him and his heart of service. And we pray too for the Dumasani Institute in South Africa and ask that you would guide them there. We thank you for the students that come year by year and those who have been there for a number of years, working away steadily, building up their understanding of your word. And pray that they might know your reward, the reward of your spirit, not just the reward of a diploma at the end, but that they will know the enriching of your word as they study there. Pray for Alistair Wilson and the others who work with him, that they might know your encouragement, that they are doing the work that is profitable for your church there. Gracious God, we pray too for our own endeavors that are planned for the school fair as we would approach the people of this community in the opportunities that you provide for us. We pray that we might recognize where there might be other opportunities that we should be looking into. But for that, we ask that you would help us in the next couple of weeks as we prepare for it, and that there will be hearts prepared to reflect upon your call upon their lives. Do prosper every ministry of your word as the gospel of hope, the gospel of light, the gospel of life, and that men might come to understand that it is only in this, and only in coming to you through the gospel of Christ, that they might find rest for their souls. We pray, O Lord, that you would enrich your kingdom even today, and that this will be the leading of others to also testify that God has done great things for his people. May it be to your glory, we pray, and even in this and in these our petitions, we pray that you would pardon us where we have strayed aside from what is to your glory. We ask that you would keep us now in what we do, that we might not sin, but bring honor and blessing to the name of our God. We ask it all only through our Lord Jesus, that you would receive us for his name's sake. Amen. Would you turn with me then to begin at least with the Gospel of Luke in chapter 7. And I'll just select one occasion, one of the questions that Jesus asked the people around him concerning John the Baptist. Luke chapter 7 and verse 26. Jesus says, "But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet." Well, this is not the only time he's asked the question. This is the third time he's asked the question as he probes this matter with the people around him, the multitudes, concerning John. When the Olympic cycling races came through Cobham and nearby Cobham twice last summer, there were crowds alongside the route, and I understand that quite a number of folk who had very little previous interest in cycling, and certainly competitive cycling, came out to watch. After all, it was on our doorstep here. And they can then say, "I wasn't here, I cleared out." But the folk who were here could say, "I was there." A big event, It's coming. Quite exciting to have the world's media here in this place. And people can say, I was there in person. Those 2,000 or so years ago, there was something dramatic happening down on the Jordan River. Would you want to be the one who missed out? Everyone was saying, well, did you see John? Did you hear what he had to say? Did you go and get this experience? And you're the one who misses out? It might have been a bit of a trek for some people. Jesus says in the first time he asked the question in verse 24, what did you go out into the wilderness to see? Not the most hospitable place to go. But here was a prophet. We read, by God's providence, we read in Matthew chapter 14 this evening. But people knew he was a prophet, and that prevented Herod from killing him. They recognized that he was a prophet. He was the first prophet for centuries amongst the people. And some might even say, well, here's the first real prophet for even longer than that. So let's go and see. They hear something's happening. Here's this strange man. Read about him. He lived in the wilderness. He wore animal skins. He ate rough food. He seems to have spoken quite forcibly. People would hear rumors of this. Maybe they would hear a report of this. Say, well, let's go down to Jordan. I want to see it for myself. What's he all about? What's he doing? Some of the great prophets of the past did amazing things. Ezekiel, completely astonished. The people that he worked with some of the weird things that he was told to do. What's he doing? What's he saying? What does he look like? What does he sound like? I want to take you then, in the light of Jesus' question, he is raising a challenge to the people around him who knew John, but is saying, what did you go out to see? What was going on in your thinking when you went down to Jordan to hear or to see John? So let us look here a little this evening, recall and reflect. And first, on the sights at Jordan. We talk about the sights, sounds and sights. The sights at Jordan, the sounds at Jordan, but also our hearts at Jordan. What do I mean by the sights at Jordan? Jesus asked, what did you go out to see? He says it in verse 24, chapter 7 of Luke, verse 24, verse 25, and verse 26. It's his challenging question, his demanding question. He's raising this question in the mind of his own hearers and for us as readers. What did you go out to see? And he offers a few options. First, he says, was it a reed shaken by the wind? Now, you're down by the river, very likely in an inlet here or there. There would be reeds and there would be a breeze. And do you go down to see them? Or maybe just once in a while you might like to go for a drive Saturday afternoon and find a picnic spot beside the river, and there's a little quiet spot and there are reeds there, and they look lovely. You can enjoy them. Is that what you went to see? Is that why you went to Jordan? Clearly not. You went because John was there. What did you go out to see? A man. Did you go out to see a man? Yes, you did. Was he a man in soft clothes, soft garments, nice things, well-dressed? I think what Jesus is saying here, this man, is he one of these cultured ones? Is he quite sophisticated? Is he one who was approved by society, and especially those in power? Those who were gorgeously apparelled, live in luxury in king's courts. Was that the kind of person you went to see? Was the important person a thing that you would go and tell your friends about, or you would tweet, or you would put on Facebook, I saw so and so yesterday. They were 2 feet from me. John Terry walking down the street in Cobham here. You tell people, a celebrity, where's the latest fashions? Was that who you went to see? But what did you go out to see? In verse 26. Well, you would hardly find one of those in fine clothing. You would hardly find them in the wilderness. You went to the wilderness. Something significant must have drawn you there. You heard word of a prophet. Did you go out to see something? You went to see a prophet? Yes. Yes, he was a prophet. If that's what you think about John, I agree. You are right, Jesus says. He was a prophet. And that's why you went. Let's pause there for a moment. You went to see one of the sights at Jordan. You went to take a look. Very often, taking a look lends itself all the more to putting your own interpretation on things. You take a look. You might be going down one side of the motorway and you realize that there's a blockage somewhere, and then you realize there's been an accident. And as you pass by, you slow down, as everybody does, and you have a look, and you think, I know what's happened there. You've interpreted, you can see. You can see something. You take a look. Let's go down to Jordan, said the ordinary people. Lots of them went. And they saw a prophet. Yes, Jesus says, he was a prophet. They saw a man who was very clearly a prophet. He looked just like a prophet was supposed to look. He wasn't an Isaiah who was in the king's palaces. He was an Elijah in rough stuff. He was an Elijah who lived off the land. He was an Elijah who spoke forcefully. You didn't see a Moses, an elegant lawgiver trained in the palaces of Egypt. You didn't see a Solomon, a king with all the riches of this world. You didn't see an Aaron, a priest, in all his finery. You saw a prophet. You saw an Elijah. You recognized him to be a prophet. A real prophet. This is the way prophets should be. Let's go down to Jordan. If you were to go back a few chapters into chapter 3, it's not the only place I would refer to, but it might just be worth keeping a thumb there as we go on. But in chapter 3, it tells us of this ministry of John that Jesus is referring to. And tells us that there were multitudes in verse 7. Luke 3, verse 7, there were multitudes who came to him to be baptized. It tells us in verse 12 that there were tax collectors who were one of the notorious groups of sinners, at least according to the religious leaders of the time. And then in verse 14 of chapter 3, the soldiers also clearly said, let's go down to Jordan. Perhaps there was a tax collector who was talking to his mother one evening and saying, I'm just not feeling right about what I'm doing. And she says, well, have you heard about the prophet down by the Jordan? Maybe he can say something. He can help you. So the tax collector goes. There's a soldier who's got time off, and he says to his colleague, he says, I'm off this weekend. And the soldier, his colleague, says, so what are you going to do with your weekend? And he says, I've heard about this John. I might go down and see what's going on here. So the soldiers went. In Matthew chapter 3, we read, we don't read in Luke chapter 3, but in Matthew chapter 3, we read that there were also Pharisees and Sadducees went to see. Amongst themselves, some said, let's go down to Jordan. But you get a very clear picture that they stood, as it were, afar off. They stood back. They didn't get too involved. But these people all said, let's go down to Jordan. and see. Take a look. Where we've been reading in chapter 7 of Luke, John had sent some of his disciples to learn if his message had been a mistake. His message had been, he saw Jesus and he said, "Behold, that's the one. He's the one I've been preparing for. This is who my message is all about." But there's something that's raised a question in his mind. And so he sent messengers to Jesus to ask, "Are you the one? Confirm, are you the one that I've been looking for, that we look for?" And Jesus tells, he does what he does and says what he says, and then turns to John's messengers and says, "Report these things. If John knows what he's about, he will know that that's evidence of who I am." So Jesus takes that opening. He has more to say, because when he asks that question, "What did you go out to see? A prophet?" he doesn't leave it there. He has more that they need to hear, and more that you and I need to hear. That John the Baptist is not just a fascinating story, because it is that, not just that. The interest that Jesus has in this prophet, and he is saying this should be your interest as well, when you saw him, what did he say? You've been looking, you've been taking a look, but remember, do you remember what he said? Do you remember what he was talking about? "He spoke of me." Into verse 27, "He was more than a prophet." Why is he more than a prophet? Because, verse 27, "He is the one that the Bible, the Old Testament, the scriptures were talking about. I send my messenger before your face, the Lord's face, who will prepare your way before you." You went to see. You went to look. What did you go out to see? What did you go out to see? What did you go out to see? You went to see, but did you hear? Did you hear what John himself said, and that he testified that this is what Scripture says? You went to see, did you hear? Paul says in Romans chapter 10, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There are the sights at Jordan, but even more important are the sounds at Jordan. Someone put it that we live in a world and a day when people believe in what they see more than in what they hear. "I've got to see it myself, or I will not believe." But the Word of God has always been the way that God reveals himself. He is not body, he cannot be seen, he makes himself known by his Word. And John came as a messenger. Yes, the way he looked drew men, but it's what he had to say that would save men. You might have put what Jesus asked in other words. "What did you go out to see?" Or, "What were you doing at Jordan? What was that all about? Did you listen?" And some did. There were many who did respond to the call for repentance. There were many, many people who heard what John had to say and did repent and were baptized accordingly. As we read on in Luke chapter 7, where our text is, a few verses later, when Jesus finished speaking about John, when all the people in verse 29 heard him, even the tax collectors justify God. So it says here, it's not just the tax collectors, but even they recognized that this was, they justified God, they honored God in this case, because they had received John's baptism. This was a confirmation to them that this was a God-given ministry. There were those ordinary people, many clearly looking for freedom from their burden of sin. It was a baptism of repentance to the remission of sins, the forgiveness, the taking away of sin. That's the message of John. There were the tax collectors, there were the soldiers, remember? Many did receive John's baptism. And that baptism was an action, it was a visual thing, it was something that they could see. But it only could only come about, and it only had force if hearts were affected. And hearts were affected only in response to the word. It was in response to the call. They would not understand this, except they had heard that John was saying, this is all about you. Repent, turn away from the way that you're going, turn to God. You don't understand that from just looking at a man dressed up in animal skins and calling out. Not just by looking, you must hear. And they received instruction from John at the time. And I believe that when Luke tells us in this gospel, as he speaks further into verse 30, that's our guide, the other side of it. It tells us there that the Pharisees and lawyers or scribes, they rejected the will or the counsel of God for themselves. How do you know the counsel or the wisdom, God's plan, God's intention, God's will? Only when he tells us. And he did tell them, but they said they rejected it. That's what Luke tells us here. They rejected the word of God. Depends on the sounds at Jordan. John preached repentance, they would not have it, and so they did not have his baptism. John preached the coming Lord. This is he of whom it is written, I send my messenger before your face. It wasn't just the repentance, their own repentance from sin, it was also the message that here is the one you're waiting for. We're not told precisely about any of these people, whether it was the ordinary folk or the tax collectors or the soldiers or the Pharisees and Sadducees or the lawyers. We're not told about any of them precisely, but you have to assume in the story as it's told that these were, some of these at least, were around when John announced, behold the Lamb of God. He is the one I've come to prepare his way. He is the one who's come after me. If John looked like a prophet, if he looked as they imagined Elijah to have looked, fact is, he is the Elijah that was foretold in Malachi. And this Elijah who had come before the great day of the Lord, of the Lord's appearing, the Lord would be close behind him. In Malachi chapter 4, he was the Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings to some. In those same verses, there were others for whom there would be left neither root nor branch. And back in Luke chapter 3, John is saying to the people, bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. There will be left neither root nor branch. Almost in the same breath as there are those for whom healing would come when the Lord came. Elijah would come first. He would prepare the way. Jesus is saying, did you hear? Were you listening? When John preached. Preach repentance. What did you do with that? He preached that I was coming, the Lord himself. What did you do with that? What about our hearts at Jordan? We were not there in those days. But the question does come to you and to me too. When we read Luke here, Jesus was asking the question, Was it all about sensation? Something drew your attention and you went to have a look. Is it all about the sensation, the celebrity? Or in the case of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, was it about, yes, you hear about this, now it's our responsibility to check that everything's okay, that he's not saying something stupid and out of order. We go, we're critics. But hard within. And when the word came to them, they rejected the counsel of God, the will of God. They were responsible for testing, for the sake of the good of the people, but they would not taste for themselves. But it's not just about them. We also have this word. We hear God's message through his prophet John, just as much as we hear God's message through his prophet Elijah, or Isaiah, or Amos. Do we hear John? And do we hear Jesus as he applied it once more? Are we like the people of the day who for many years were trundling along in life and just had God's word to learn and to study and to read? And then we hear something new is happening. Something interesting, something that's almost sensational. And sometimes we go to it and we say, well, let's be careful now. Or we say, well, yes, maybe it gives me just what I need. It could be either of these. That's all very well. What it has to be is to hear what the Spirit says. When you get there, yes, let's go down to Jordan. When you get there, listen. That's the way God does his work, by hearing. If you're about testing the spirits, do test them. But when you find it's the counsel of God, take it. Don't reject it. And that counsel of God is, as it was through John, do repent and believe in this one who comes after me, this Jesus. The fascinating thing is that if you look at the message of John, he really had nothing new to say. He looked new, he looked all different and strange and new on the horizon, but he didn't say anything new. He preached Scripture. He's saying, you know all those old things, this is where they apply. That was his unique place. Remember Jesus said in Luke 7:26, he was a prophet, but I say to you, more than a prophet. Why is that? Because he is the one of whom it is written, he is coming, I send my messenger before your face. This is the moment you've been waiting for. That's how he's different. All of the prophets were leading to this place. His unique place is to say, now is the time. But he was always one of the prophets. He kept saying what all the other prophets had said, repent. Gain forgiveness of sins. Humble yourselves. The word was no different. Because God is no different. If you read the Free magazine, there's a report on the latest youth conference. And Alistair McLeod, who was with us back at the end of April from Ullapool, he was the main speaker. And someone has summarized the conference. Find the right place. And he said, Alistair's talks were wonderfully enlightening and displayed to us the glory of God yesterday, today, and forever. The same God, without change. How could John preach something different? It was the outward appearance that was fresh, perhaps, new, different. But it was still to bring us back to the same word. And that this Jesus is our hope. Let's be careful. Is it a John you wait for? To come out with great drama so that we'll be convinced? Or is it one to return from the dead? Jesus tells a story of two men who died. One had was kept away from Abraham. The other was kept in Abraham's bosom. That was Lazarus, he called him. And the one who was at a distance, who was kept apart and was burning, he said, just please send someone back to my brothers, and if someone comes to them from the dead, they will hear. Abraham said, no, they won't. They have Moses, they have the prophets, they still won't hear, even if all that drama comes. And remember, somebody has come back from the dead with the same message. Repent and believe. That was the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. When John's messengers asked Jesus, are you the one coming? Jesus seems to have effectively said, Matthew 14, effectively said, hang on, just watch. Watch what's going on. But in that watching, they heard something. It wasn't just, that one's healed, that one's healed, that one's healed, cast out the demon. They also heard the preaching of the gospel. Jesus would not do what he did, all his great works, except he also preached the gospel. Repent and believe in him. The gospel of his kingdom. Free magazine again. Ewan Murray. He doesn't play on Sundays. When Scotland plays any other day of the week, he is a first pick on the team. They need him. He doesn't play on Sundays. He tells his story here, part of his story. And he was going around, looking for something. And he says, he came to a church in Govan, of all places, where we're just sending out a worker for our first time for many years. I thought, if Jesus was in the church, he would want me to be in, listening to what he has to say. So I went in and heard a sermon, which was basically all about my life and how I'd tried everything and I was unfulfilled, and there was something that could change my life. And this, I was waiting for this new thing that I'd never heard, but it was something that I'd heard since I was a little boy. It's the same gospel. It's the same gospel from Genesis chapter 3. It's the same gospel through Isaiah. It's the same gospel through Malachi. The same gospel through John. And the gospel of Jesus. Whatever you see, whatever the drama, whatever the criticism, discard it all unless it is this one message. But if it is this one message, discard what you see and make sure you have what you hear. No one who will be worth hearing will have a new message. There'll be different looks, different appearances, but you'll forget those. I wonder how many people in around this time thought, oh yes, John the Baptist, almost forgotten about him. There are many who say, well, if only Jesus would appear to me, maybe in a vision or something like that, that he would appear to me personally, out of his time. It is out of his time. He's spoken. We must hear. He himself said through John in Revelation, if you have ears, hear what the Spirit is saying. And the Spirit's been saying and saying and saying. The great early theologian Augustine started out life as a young man, brilliant man, but he was a deliberate sinner, you might say. He set himself to find sins to do. But he was eventually touched in his conscience, and yet he resisted. Until one day, he was in Milan, the city of Milan. It was way back in the end of the 4th and 5th centuries, around that time. And in Milan, he heard a young voice repeating, take up and read, take up and read, in Latin, of course. So it prevailed on him, it worked in his heart, and he went and he found a Bible, and he took up and read, came to know Christ. He believed in that Jesus of the Bible. He'd been looking all over the place for answers in life, and he is the one who said, Man will always be restless until he finds his rest in you, in God. He wearied himself looking for an answer everywhere else, anywhere else. But then he did take up God's word, he read, and his life was renewed. What did you go out to see? What will you go off to hear or see? Let's go down to Jordan, leave the temple behind, where the priests should have been teaching God's word. Let's see this new thing. And they get to the new thing, and he says, go back to the old things. Let's search high in heaven, or as many do today, down in the depths. But Moses himself said, and Paul quotes it in Romans, the word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. Ewan Murray, I heard it since I was a little boy. Paul to the Athenians, he's not far from each one of us. And friends, it always has been, it only ever will be, God's word that will make you wise to salvation. And it's only salvation that will enter you into eternal life. God's word, where it tells you of this Jesus, the very Son of God who came in the flesh, humbled himself, gave himself, died for all who would believe in him. That's the test of the messenger. Test of me too as a messenger. But you're tested too with your hearing. Will you believe the word that's proclaimed by John, by Jesus, by the scriptures? May God bless his word to us now. And let us return the praise to him together in our response. We turn to sing in Psalm 125. Just before we do, I think there is plenty of time, but just before we do, I might mention that if you normally go out of Cobham to the east, there are signs up saying that for a few days now, and would include this evening, from 8 o'clock, the road is going to be closed from the end, that far end of the high street, just a little bit around, but it's going to be closed for resurfacing or something. So if you do need to go out that way, there is time, but get there before 8 o'clock. We'll turn to sing together in Psalm 125, and we'll sing the whole psalm. It's on page 170. All those who trust the Lord, like Zion, are secure, which never can be moved, but always will endure. So let us sing together, Psalm 125. We'll stand to sing and we'll stay standing after that for God's blessing.
All those who trust the Lord, like Zion, are secure, which never can be moved, but always
Oh,
Lord grant his blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.